From Tidbits on September 15th, 2014, this is Apple Pay Aims to Disrupt Payment Industry by Adam C. Angst and Rich Mogul. Apple CEO Tim Cook concluded Apple's special event last week by bringing U2 on stage, but the theme song for the middle part of the presentation could have been ABBA's Money, Money, Money. As the 1970s Swedish supergroup sang, it's a rich man's world, and nowhere was that truism more apparent than in Apple's announcement of the Apple Pay mobile payment system, due in October 2014 as a free update to iOS 8. With Apple Pay, Apple's self-described mission is to replace your wallet, enabling you to pay a bill by holding an iPhone 6 or 6 Plus, or the forthcoming Apple Watch, up to a payment sensor. No more fumbling with credit cards and signing receipts, or worrying about having enough cash. In theory, at least, Apple Pay both improves the payment experience and brings new levels of security and privacy to credit card payments. Not to quibble too much, but replacing a wallet is a much larger task, given that carrying official identification, such as a driver's license, is mandatory, or at least a good idea, in many countries. Plus, we're still a ways off from a truly cashless society. Apple Pay Payments. The comment about it being a rich man's world relates to Apple being perhaps the only company that's sufficiently large and powerful to entice both the financial industry and enough major retailers to support a new payment system. The concept is far from new, and even companies as large as Google and PayPal have tried, and largely failed, to create mobile payment systems. The problem is one of size and coherency, and of overcoming the inertia of the existing credit card system. The previous attempts at solutions weren't enough of an improvement due to the fuss of setup and never knowing which retailers would accept your particular system's technology or app. For Apple Pay, Apple has lined up support from Visa, MasterCard, and American Express, and is working with a number of large banks to cover 83% of all credit card use in the United States. Apple said they are, quote, working hard to bring Apple Pay to even more countries, unquote. Even more important, Apple has convinced numerous major retailers that already support contactless payments to work with Apple Pay, meaning there will be at least 220,000 stores taking Apple Pay at launch. Some of the retailers include the Apple Store, of course, Disney, Macy's, McDonald's, Nike, Panera Bread, Petco, Sephora, Staples, Subway, Walgreens, and Whole Foods, among others. Apple is also taking advantage of its ecosystem to enable developers to add Apple Pay directly to apps, which will provide one touch, with a Touch ID sensor in the iPhone 6, checkout of orders made within apps. Apple Senior Vice President of Internet Software and Services Eddie Q talked about it working within the Apple Store app, as well as apps from Groupon, Major League Baseball, department store Target, and ride-sharing service Uber. Most interesting was the mention of the restaurant reservation service OpenTable. At participating restaurants, you'll be able to both book a table via the OpenTable app and pay your bill when you're done eating. We expect that most apps doing payment will support Apple Pay quickly. The payment processing company Stripe has announced that apps that use Stripe will be able to accept payment via Apple Pay once it launches. Nothing was said about making it possible to use Apple Pay within a Safari-hosted web page, but it would seem logical for Apple to attempt to crack that nut. The huge question is whether Apple is taking a percentage of each transaction that runs through Apple Pay. This wouldn't be the 30% chunk that Apple extracts as a transaction fee for all sales to the App Store, Mac App Store, and iBook Store. But it could be along the lines of the 2.9% and 30% charge that companies like PayPal and Stripe charge. We're seeing conflicting reports about this. Benedict Evans of the VC firm Andreessen Horowitz said on Twitter that Apple does not charge users, merchants, or developers to use Apple Pay for payments. That may be true, but Bloomberg is reporting that Apple will be charging banks a portion of the so-called swipe fees that they collect from merchants. Swipe fees account for $40 billion annually, so even a small percentage of that could add up fast for Apple. The Bank Innovation blog is also reporting that Apple has negotiated with the banks for lower card-present rates for payments via Apple Pay, which could result in Apple saving roughly 10% on processing fees it pays. Apple Pay security and privacy. The Apple Pay system relies on near-field communication, NFC, a technology that uses extremely short-range radio waves to establish a two-way communications channel. This is unlike RFID, the technology used to tag pets, which works in only one direction. NFC has been used for payments for a number of years, but typically with standalone dongles kept in your physical keychain. This isn't the first time we have seen NFC on a phone, but never at this scale. More important is how Apple architected Apple Pay to ensure both security and privacy. And they're very different. On the security side, Apple relies on the combination of the device and their back-end payment system, the device to handle the secure request for payment, and the back-end system for the secure processing of the payment, all without exposing your identity or credit card details. When you enroll a credit card on your iPhone 6, by taking a photo of it, your card number is associated by the credit card company with a unique payment token that is then stored in the secure element of your iPhone. The card number itself is never stored on the phone. This approach, called tokenization, changes the payment process. Instead of sending the credit card number to the merchant, Apple Pay sends the token, which the merchant then transmits to the payment processor, who matches it up with the actual credit card number in their highly secure back end to complete the transaction. Tokenization has been around for quite a few years and has grown in popularity, since it reduces the risks of card breaches and especially the compliance costs for merchants. Your actual credit card number is never exposed during a transaction, merely a token that can be regenerated whenever necessary, without forcing you to re-enter your card for all your recurring bills. In Apple's case, it seems that the token is tied to a specific device. Lose it, and you can wipe the token using Find My iPhone. Then, just take a picture of your cards to re-enroll them on your new or recovered phone. This dramatically reduces your risk since your card numbers are never exposed, not even to the merchant. If a merchant is breached, I suspect Apple will either ask you to regenerate the token or handle it on the back-end system. Apple's Eddie Q also mentioned that a one-time code is used in the transaction, which could be a more complex form of tokenization that protects both your card and the token associated with your device. That likely eliminates the risk of a lost token being used like your credit card for fraud. Keep in mind that, as a credit card customer, you have zero liability for fraudulent purchases, but those costs are pushed on to merchants and banks, especially when the bank needs to reissue a card. Also, believe it or not, fraud rates are at near historic lows, but have been creeping up recently due to the larger breaches. In terms of privacy, Apple Pay doesn't go as far as the anonymity of cash, but it's a lot better than today's credit card world. First, with Apple Pay, cashiers won't even see your name, credit card number, or security code. And Apple doesn't know what you buy, where you buy it, or how much you paid. It's not as private as cash, because the purchase information is still recorded by the merchant and your bank, but it's still better than where we are today with credit cards. It's also consistent with Apple's unofficial policy of collecting as little personal information on customers as possible. A significant disruption. Apple Pay has the potential to disrupt the existing payment industry, one Rich deals with extensively as a security analyst. It is likely the largest deployment of both tokenization and NFC technologies we've seen. Although Apple Pay will initially be limited to those who buy the iPhone 6 or 6 Plus, the Apple Watch will expand the audience to anyone who has an iPhone 5, 5S, or 5C as well, since the Apple Watch works with those models and includes NFC and Apple Pay support. And with millions of customers in play, merchants will have more and more incentive to buy into NFC readers, which will in turn benefit other NFC-based payment systems. The payment industry has attempted to change consumer, merchant, and banking behaviors as we've entered the digital era, due in large part to increasing concerns over credit card thefts and fraud. Apple Pay's combination of improved user experience, reduced risk, and increased consumer privacy could shake up how we buy things, both in person and online. This is Tidbits, sponsored in part this week by CrashPlan, Smile, and ScanSnap. If you like listening to our articles, please visit our podcast page in iTunes and leave a rating and or review. To find it, click the podcast link in the upper left of the Tidbits homepage at tidbits.com. Once there, you can also follow article links, make comments, read related articles, and subscribe via email, RSS, Twitter, Facebook, and our iOS app. I'm Adam Angst, and be sure to read the comments in this article. We have a link to another follow-up article that Rich ended up writing for Macworld, so it's got a few more details than we're able to fit into this one.